So it's Genesis 22 and verses 1 to 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Well, we're going to spend some moments thinking about that passage in Genesis 22, but also thinking, using that passage, about Yahweh Jireh. That's not bad. The children, I've noticed, aren't quite doing it. So we'll just practice it down here. Yahweh Jireh. Brilliant. So we're going to think about Yahweh Jireh. No, I'm not sensing you're getting it with me this morning. It's a little bit muffled. We're going to try again. Yahweh Jireh. That's better. We're going to say it a few times, so get with it. Now, Genesis 22. Just read. Who thought it was a slightly strange story, if we're honest? Anyone? A few people, mainly the adults, children quite happy with it. Wouldn't be if that was your father. So here we go. God tells Abraham to go and kill Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. Now I think that is probably the worst thing anyone could ever have to do. It's the sort of thing that really only happens in nightmares. And in Abraham's case, it was arguably worse than normal. Because his son Isaac was the one he had been waiting for. Do you remember the story? Abraham and his wife Sarah could not have children. There's a picture of them. They look a little bit sad. Yet, they couldn't have children, but God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. That is, that he would have numerous descendants. That is, that he would have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren. In fact, a whole nation, Israel, the people of God, would come from this man. But he has no children. And then at the age of nearly 100, which is older than anyone else in this room, at the age of 100, God gives them a child. Sarah becomes pregnant and Isaac is born. And now this miracle child, this child of promise, this one through whom Abraham's going to have grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren and a whole nation, the people of God, Israel, is about to be killed. And Abraham is up a mountain in 1800 BC before Jesus, 1,800 years before Jesus comes, and he's about to kill his son. And the question is, why? Well, we're told, have a look, verse 1, that God wanted to test Abraham, to see that he really loved God. That Abraham didn't love the promises God had given him. Not that Abraham was just excited to follow God because of what God promised to give him, children and land, and to have this nation come from him. No, God wanted to see that Abraham actually loved the promise giver. That loved God, not the promises. And so, Abraham sets off to Mount Moriah. And it's a 3-day journey. And he has Isaac with him. And he has the wood with him. And he has a knife with him. And he has a little bowl with the fire in it. And if we stop the story there, it's pretty remarkable, isn't it? I mean, what would you do if you heard God tell you to kill your child? I mean, kids, what would you do if you heard God tell your dad to kill you? You would probably hope that he would ignore it. Or telling yourself that it could not possibly be God because God is loving and God would never tell you to kill someone and God would never undermine his promises. But Abraham, however, he knows God's voice and he obeys. And even when Isaac asked him the heart-wrenching question, Isaac's worked it out. Isaac's walking up the hill and he's going, hold on a second, there's the wood, there's the knife, there's the fire. Dad, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham's response reveals all. Have a look, verse 8. Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. It shows how well Abraham knew God. See, Abraham had learned through experience that God always, 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 always provides. Even when it seems impossible, he provides. And so Abraham ties Isaac up. He takes the knife to kill his son, and immediately an angel calls out to Abraham, stop, don't lay a hand on the boy. And Abraham looks up, and there he sees a ram caught in a thicket, which he then offers instead of Isaac. Abraham was right to be confident in God's provision. See, he did not know exactly how God would provide, but he trusted and loved God enough to do what God says, knowing that God always, 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 always provides. And so Abraham names the place Yahweh Jireh. Verse 14, have a look. He names the place Yahweh will provide, or the Lord will provide. Now we know, because we've been thinking about names in the Bible, that names in the Bible tell us what a person is and what a person is and does. And so here we learn that God's name is Yahweh Jireh. And see, Yahweh will provide. In other words, it's part of who God is. Providing is part of God's nature. It's not just something he does. It's part of who he is. That's why it's his name. See, God cannot be anything other than a provider. He will always, 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 always provide. Wherever he is, whatever the situation we are in, and he does this because he always knows what we need well before we do. I mean, think about it. the ram was caught in the thicket already. God knew what Abraham would need. He'd already made provision for him because God is Yahweh Jireh. Now, in both the English and the Hebrew word for provide, it has a sense of seeing in its meaning. See, our word provide is made up of two parts, isn't it? So the first bit is pro, meaning before, as in proactive, so before something. And the other part of the word is vide, meaning see, as in videos, in digital video, what's the last word? Disc, DVDs. And the Hebrew word Jireh is similar. It carries this idea of seeing to something. In other words, God always sees what we're going to need before we get there. And so he sees to it by providing for us in advance. He sees everything we will ever need. And the Bible tells us, before the beginning of time, he saw our greatest need. He saw the need for a sacrifice to pay the punishment for our sin, for our rebellion against him. For all those times when we have chosen to do what we want, not what God wants. That we were going to need a sacrifice. That we might be friends with God. Now here's a question for you kids, just to think about. Why did God seek to test Abraham the way he did? And why didn't he just say, Abraham, show me that you love me by going to kill a lamb or a goat or 10 lambs or 10 goats? Why his son? Just ponder that for a moment. Why his son? Does it sound familiar? Anyone think of a familiar story? No? It's a bit of a worry, isn't it? Let me tell you then. Here's the answer. Because in this story, we're meant to see how Yahweh Jireh will provide for us. So 1800 years after Abraham, on the very same mountain, there would be another sacrifice involving another father and son. But this time, a ram would not be killed. This time, a son would be killed. God's own son, Jesus. And Jesus would die as our sacrifice, taking our place, taking the punishment for our sin, so that through faith in his son, we might be restored to relationship and friendship with God and eternity with our heavenly Father. You see, God provides the sacrifice that we need so that we might not die, so that we might not suffer separation from God the Father for all eternity. God provided just what we needed. God provided for our most fundamental need. Because he is Yahweh Jireh. Now if God, here's the good bit, has given us his very best, his very own son, can he be trusted to give his children everything else they need? Yes? What do you guys think? Yeah? Do you know what? This is what the Bible says, Romans 8 verse 32. He, God, did not spare his own son, Jesus, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That's why we can call him Yahweh Jireh. Because the Lord will provide. He graciously gives us all things. See, God cannot be anything other than a provider. He will always, 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 always provide wherever he is, whatever the situation we're in. And he does this because he always knows what we need well before we do. He sees our needs and provides. Now, does this mean he will provide whatever we want? So God is somehow a genie. You ask for a wish, you ask for a toy, and poof, God gives it to you. Well, no. Because he's like a loving father. He does what is best for us. So if my children ask for sweets for dinner every night, do you think I'll give it to them? Yes? Yes? Do it? Yeah. Sadly, no. because it's not what's best for them, Dave. But I give them dinner, because that is good for them. And you see, similarly with God, he provides what we need, what is best for us, which sometimes means he does not remove us from situations. He doesn't necessarily remove us from the difficulties, but he does provide us all we need for our situation. So he gives us the grace and the love and the faith and the strength and the endurance and people to encourage us. He always knows what we need well before we do. Just as he did with Jesus, think about it. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked for God to provide another way other than the cross. But at the same time, he recognizes God's needs, God's ways are best. And what happens? God provides all Jesus is needed to fulfill his Father's purposes. Because God is Yahweh Jireh. He does exactly, doesn't he, the same for us. He will always provide wherever he is, whatever the situation we're in. And he does this because he always knows what we need well before we do. He is Yahweh Jireh, our provider. Now we heard earlier and saw how God has provided materially for us. This is just a little token, isn't it, of our thanks for all the material provision God has given us. And how he gives us joy and laughter and friends. But now we're going to hear some stories of how God has provided for people this week in different ways, in different situations. We're going to hear how God has been Yahweh Jireh in different situations. Jim. There we go. Hold that close. Now, Jim, this week, Jim, you've had an opportunity to, you sense an opportunity to be able to share the good news of Jesus with a friend of yours, a client who you work with or for, who literally has days to live.
Yep. Yep. I have one of my customers.
No nearer. How did God provide?
How did she provide?
How did God provide?
Sorry. Yeah.
Not she.
Closer. Well, is very unwell. She returned home from hospital and was told that she literally had a few days to live. So she was literally told that she had a few days to live. And I heard from her carer, her helper, that she was frightened and I knew she wasn't a Christian. So I felt compelled to share the gospel with her. And, I'd sent her a book last Christmas outlining the gospel. And we'd had a few other mentions, but other than that, there was nothing. So, to be perfectly honest, I was pretty scared. I felt it was a massive responsibility to speak to somebody when she was not expected to live any longer than 5 days. I was scared about it. I thought, what if I mess it up? What if I say the wrong thing? What if she gets angry? What if she gets upset? So I think the first thing I did was pray about it. And I think through the prayer, I had a way of communicating with God about my fears, and it gave me, pointed me in the right direction in terms of the words of comfort that I could seek to give her hope. And she was a very successful person in life. She'd done very well, and financially she was very comfortable, but when you're facing death, that means absolutely nothing. So I really wanted to kind of reach out to her. And, like I said, through prayer, I got a real desire and a confidence in what I felt was my ability through God to reach out to her. And so, also, as well as finding words in the Bible, I also had a fantastic a daily devotional, which I found in Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, which just summed up perfectly the hope that we have as Christians. And also on Tuesday, at our community group, I got a great deal of support from the people that were there, so thank you everyone that was there. I discussed my concerns, And we prayed about it, and I felt fully supported and a great sense of unity within that group of people. I was really fired up and ready to go.
So what happened? So you went. So you had tried Tuesday, hadn't you, to go and
Tuesday
see her?
I tried to. Yep.
And what happened?
Tuesday, she didn't arrive home from hospital until late on the evening. So
you couldn't see her?
Couldn't see
so
her.
So you went back Wednesday? What
went
happened?
Went back on Wednesday. The family had decided that they needed to see her before it was too late. She was going rapidly downhill. So I wasn't allowed to see her on the
Told to come back on the Wednesday. Thursday?
Went back on the Wednesday. On the Thursday, yeah. Went back on Thursday to do the garden, which is how I knew her. And they said that she was, she had a bad fever and there was nowhere that I could see her.
So you sensed an opportunity, you were scared, you were afraid, you prayed, you found the words to say to this lady, you prepared these words to speak to her from the Bible, God had provided a community group around you to encourage you and pray for you. You'd gone on the Tuesday, told Wednesday, Thursday, got there Thursday, couldn't...
No.
Have you been able to see her?
No.
What other opportunity did God provide there?
Well, I guess I realised with what happened that ultimately God is sovereign. Yeah, it's his will, it's not mine. And I guess in his grace on the Tuesday, as we waited for her to come home, I had the opportunity to discuss my faith with her helper and her carer. And we spoke at length, and she agreed that if I found her a suitable literature, a good book, then she would read it. So God did provide. It wasn't what I was expecting or what I'd prayed for, but I still did get the opportunity to speak to her. And so we have to be thankful for that. But having said that, I thought about what Graham had said last week about how often we talk about Jesus. And if you're anything like me, then it's not enough. So I'd really encourage you all to do it now before it's too late. If you're sincere, then pray about it, and God will provide that opportunity.
Great. Thank you.
One more thing. God also provided me with a very good friend who offered me a great deal of comfort and encouragement over the sadness that I felt over a debt. So thank you, Mark.
It's good, isn't it, to hear how God provides in these tough situations. It might not be the way we want it or expect it, but God provides opportunities. In our fear, he provides the words to speak, he provides people to encourage us, and he provides opportunities. May not be the ones we want, but he provides. We're going to hear someone else now, a very different situation. Bethan coming up. As many of you know, Bethan has struggled with her health for years, and right at this moment, has been a particularly bad week for Bethan. She's been put in A&E over the week and is in a lot of pain. But she has known how God has provided for her in this week.
Thank you. God provided enough here for the words to speak, right? Off we go. I'm seeing God's provision in everything at the moment. And from there's the practical stuff of our home and our food and our income and my amazing husband and amazing children who just roll with it, whatever state I'm in. And this awesome church family. You guys are amazing. You really are. When our families are so far away, it's amazing to have you guys. And God's provided all of that. His provision in the Word as well, and that's kind of what I've been thinking about this week, both in things that he's spoken to me, promises that he's spoken to me in the past that he has always kept, promises of healing that have come to fruition, and when things go downhill again, then I hold on to that, and that is a real hope for the future. His Word in the Bible as well, and there's always verses that are in my head It's kind of a couple of verses at a time normally. This week, very much, it's been Romans 8, verse 28, that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And in a really practical situation, on Friday evening, when I wanted to be at a Christian conference, and I found myself at the PRH instead. But I was lying in A&E for just under 5 hours, I think, praying for the staff at A&E, and I was kind of thinking, well, okay, maybe that's what God wants me to do today, and, you know, if I wasn't here, would there be anyone here doing this? And, yeah, and that's really, that's the provision of the Holy Spirit within me, because that's not a natural reaction for me to have.
Thank you. You have, you were saying there about the words of comfort that God's word brings you, yeah. And that Romans 8, 28, and in terms of, you've been in real pain this week.
Yeah.
And you could understandably be praying that God would just take that pain away, which he has done in the past, yeah. But he hasn't at this moment.
Yeah.
How have you sensed that God's provided, you know, that comfort that you spoke of in terms of his word? And
yeah, just that he keeps it in my head, that he's provided kind of, he's provided quiet times this year, you know, times that I've had to have been quiet times because I've been kept in bed, where I've learnt Psalms and I've learnt verses from the Bible in a way that I've never done before, so that now they're in my head and they kind of float to the top when they're needed, and that's
so yeah. Providing his word in yeah. that situation, his comfort
yeah.
And his help
yeah.
As well as the church family and friends yeah. and goodness, so that you can stand here in the midst of real pain
yeah.
and testify to his provision of goodness, would that be fair?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
God provides. He's Yahweh Jireh. And he provides in real situations, in real times of need. We're going to hear one more story of someone who's known God's provision. It's from a younger person, Hannah. Hannah's going to come up. Hannah's had to change schools, you know, going from junior school to senior school over the last couple of years, and has really known God's provision over the last year particularly. So how are you knowing God's provision, Hannah?
Well, God has provided me with many good gifts this year. He's given me all that I need daily, like a loving family, a home and food. And he's also blessed me with lots of different hobbies that I've been able to use and enjoy, such as playing the piano and singing. God's given me strength to trust in him in difficult times this year, and has provided me with people from this church to talk to and pray with who have been very understanding, which has really encouraged me, and I'm really grateful for them. God has also sustained me at school and helped me to get through each day and look to him and talk to him through prayer more, especially when I've been worried, as I'm quite a worrier. Through this, I'm learning that God is faithful and he answers prayers, even though it's not always in the way I expect, as he doesn't always take my problems away, but he's taken care of me in hard times. I've been trying to talk to my friends more about God, and he's provided me with opportunities to do that and given me more courage.
Thank you, Hannah. Yes, sit down. It's great, isn't it, just to hear how God is providing, just in those everyday moments. And for someone who wants to share their faith, he provides those opportunities. And it's worth, isn't it, just thinking, you know, how does God provide for us? He provides for us each and every day. He provides in the workplace to give us opportunities to proclaim the gospel. He provides in the workplace when we're in need and stressed and we don't quite know how we're going to get things done. He provides the energy and the wisdom and the comfort. He provides for someone who's not well, in pain. And he provides the words of comfort through his word. And he provides family and friends and church family to provide. He provides for someone at school in the different ways. He provides for them over a year and sees his goodness in provisions. Do you know what? He provides what we need as we wrestle with our sinful natures. He provides what we need to grow in faith and love in the Lord Jesus. He provides what we need at that moment when our children are driving us mad. And we don't quite know how to respond. And he gives us the wisdom. And he provides for our need after that ninth day and night without any sleep or broken sleep. He provides what I need. He provides what I need when my child is sick. He provides what I need when I'm faced with a very tricky conversation at work or a difficult client or a struggling pupil. He provides. He provides in the various situations that we as a church family face. So look out. I know that many, some, are struggling with difficult situations. And he provides. He provides, doesn't he? Faith and endurance and love and comfort and strength and his grace and people to encourage us. He will always, always, always provide. Abraham knew that. Abraham knew that as he went up that mountain. He knew God would provide. It's an impossible situation, but he knew God would provide. That God will always provide wherever he is, whatever the situation we're in. And he does this because he always, always, always knows what we need well before we do. He's Yahweh Jireh. He's our provider.